Hi, good morning. This evening, as you know, at the Velodrome, it will premiere Fede Tarras, Bomb Scared, a dark comedy produced by Netflix, and in which the press conference we have the presence of the director and co-screenplay writer Borja Cobeaga, Diego Hans San Jose, who is also co-screenplay writer, as well as Gorka Ochoa, the actors, Javier Camara, Miren Ibarguren, and Julian López. We also have the presence of the producer, executive producer, Javier Méndez Sori. And without further ado, let's first question. Hi, good afternoon. Just it's a question, Conchita, for cinema programs and also for the news. Borja Cobeaga, is that the ideal moment, or did you seek this specific moment to premiere the film Fede de Tarras, Bomb Scared, here in San Sebastian? Well, Conchita, the truth is we made it when we could. That is to say, Diego San Jose and I had this project in mind since 2004, more or less, and we've made it when Javier Méndez from Media Pro and he contracted that interest to Netflix to make it. It's a film that we were shooting in the month of May. We haven't finished it now to present it before the 1st of October, not for any reason at all. Albeit, and there is a great coincidence, is Alcorcón City Council is handing out Spanish flags, and it's a provincial city with Spanish flags. The fact is that it's the life of a commando, but in contrast, it's the greatest attack of Spanishness, shall we say, that's taken place in the last century. Well, for the time being, which was the World Football Cup in South Africa and the Spanish football team winning. So it is truth that iconographically speaking, from an iconographic standpoint, there are things in the films that weren't intentional but fit in very well with the present day. Well, in fact, the South Africa World Cup, it was a coincidence that we haven't calculated, but it appears in the film. And they are very Español, Spanish, which was in Huelva, to say farewell to the Guardia Civil in their adventure in Catalonia, for example, they say. So, no, we didn't want to talk about politics at all, no. Well, I'm going to continue along those lines, in fact. No, don't, really. You've taken the question out of my mouth. So therefore, do you see in what happens it's happening at present? You're talking about these moments of greatness in Spain, material to make in the future, perhaps a dark comedy explaining what's happening now, doing a Catalan second or sequel like in Spanish Affair 2. So why do you make a comedy of this issue in comedy? Or idea? The difficult thing here is to not do it. That is to say, in a context in which the Guardia Civil is painted dying, sleeping in a ferry, for example, hiding in a ferry, I said, you can't do that as a comedy because it's already been made. The reality surpasses you, so therefore you're doing a documentary. But it is true, I'm not too sure, it's not something that Diego and I propose doing all of a sudden to portray everything that's happening in the last few weeks, because it's very comical and anecdotal at the same time, what's taking place at the present moment. A Guardia Civil singing a fandango from a window and him being applauded, but there are much more dramatic situations that you can't make a comedy about. But I'm not addressing this. I'm sure that some Catalonian screenplay writer, not now, but in the future, will make. It'd be very good for all of us to do a comedy of what's happening and what's still to happen, but someone has got to make those comedies. Not Borja and I can do all the nationalisms and show them on the screen in a comedy, but there's no time. But from as a spectator's point of view, it's good to make a comedy about this, because Borja says there are elements there to make a really good comedy of a serious issue. Hi. It's tremendous that this film, that I saw it yesterday in the film theater, and obviously it has the meaning of people, you see where people laugh. This evening it's going to be shown in the Velodrome, that people are going to see it at home as well through Netflix. So therefore, there's something that it's breaking the laws of comedy. It's what's a bit of a surprise is a comedy to be shared can be seen in your living room. So therefore, I'd like to know about the tragical side of Javier's character. That tragic dimension, how did you live through that, Javier? And then you guys, because in Negociator there was greater tragedy. And why have you not wanted to put an antagonist, shall we say, someone who could contribute even further tragedy? Well, I think that the film takes place, there's something quite existentialist. This is a waiting for the call that never arrives. And what I like very much of the tragic side of my character is someone that's got to take a step forward, that he's never going to take that step forward. He doesn't know how to do it, and he's got to get involved in the issue, and he's waiting for a call that decision is going to be taken by others. He's never going to make the decision himself. And I like those four characters that were abandoned in the center of a World Football Cup or Soccer Cup, and everything is a party going around them. And I like the idea of that solitude, that is how society was soaking them around them without them realizing it. I liked it when, for example, they said, well, no, we've got to spend 2 days here and leave. And then when they've got to spend more than 2 or 3 months, it's inevitable that something soaks into you. And it's like a little drop by drop. Oh, what's it called? The Chinese or Malayan? No, that's a bit Russian. Is it Malayan salt? No, it's salt from the Himalayas. No, it's all mixed up. That's how we spent the whole film, just like this. The whole film. I like all of that metaphorical side of things, and there is a lot of metaphors here. For example, when we read the film, when I read the script, I thought it was funny. I said, we're going to go. I felt like saying a lot of the things and the barbaric things that my character says, because he believes them. He says, no, this character believes exactly everything he says, because those things that have been drawn, they haven't invented all of them, imagine, in the script. So I like that very much. And also the solitude and the loneliness of these four characters. I'm not too sure. What were you saying? You put me off. I'm now thinking about the pink salt from the Himalayas. But the directors, the director's answering now. The funniest films I've seen at home. I didn't see Young Frankenstein in a film theater. So I've said just simply, doesn't laugh when they see a comedy. Doesn't happen to me. For example, I laugh in every corner of my living room if I'm watching it on my own. But due to the characteristics of the film, and because the issue it deals with and how it's treated, and the feeling of total freedom that we've carried out, it fits into Netflix, I believe. So therefore, I'm attracted very much by not having to wait to the result of the box office results on Monday. That lack of vertigo, I think, is very interesting for me. And on the other hand, there's the issue that I believe one can laugh very much at home. That is to say, the cinematographic experience of sharing laughter and the domino effect in a film theater is great, but I think it compensates much more than what it takes away from you. And the tragedy side of things, well, Borja and I came from the Spanish affair is contrary, because it's completely wide, but here we have the freedom of making a film which is a bit more personal and a vision of what we like as spectators. And Borja and I, what blows us away is things like, that is to say, sad comedies. We are the Javis of La Bajona, for example, because we enjoy getting stuck into that, what happens behind comedy, right? That grime behind comedy. What I would, Mario, want to say, when I read the script, we laughed a lot when we read it, because there's so many funny things that happen. But then when you start to make the film, shoot the film takes you another way. And there are many films that when you're making it, and then it's like yeast, and the yeast starts to rise and make. And this has been completely different to what I thought, but absolutely faithful to the spirit that Borja and Diego wanted. So therefore, I think that the film takes place and meanders in a dark sort of way, in the shade, and then full of jokes and gags and so on and so forth. But the gag was never sought after. When a gag emerged that we were very happy, Borja threw it away. He said, no, no, it's much drier, it's colder, this shouldn't be marked that clearly. And so therefore it went another way, or emphasized that way. We were very careful. The last scenes, for example, I had to be very careful when I picked that up in my hands, for example, in those scenes, and it was as if I had my. It made me want to cry. We were making a comedy of something very tragic, and the characters are being inundated with it. That is to say, for example, that happened to me when I was doing the film. There were scenes where I said, "Gee, we're shooting some things of people that are believe this, people that really believe this. What isn't that horrible? Where did you invent this? No, we've drawn this from texts and." This has been documented, and I said, it's incredible that people can believe this. Well, true, there were people who believed this. So therefore, that made me feel very sad. And so therefore, we've been inundated by the sadness, and these are the true losers, and let's hope that they are the last losers of this cause. Borja Diego, what do you think has happened since Vaya Semanita to here? Because you've done humor upon ETA before, but now, and Cialia Opara, for example. But what do you think that now, for example, what's happening? There's less, from Vaya Semanita, there's less freedom now or more? I read Carlos Francino, who was talking of being a Catalonian journalist in Madrid. Sectarism and solemnity is what Spain is divided into. It's a great description, and it's a precise description of what we're living through at the present moment. And I think that there was something in 2003 when we did Vaya Semanita, which was obvious. ETA was still active. It was in the truce when the program started, and this helped that we could. But it was true that ETA was still killing and murdering people. But the society was quite sick and tired at that time. I think that has been overcome, but I'm seeing that, for example, in the Basque society, I don't think so much, but in the Spanish society in general, that they are. That the social media is enabling dogmatizing things too much, and things are very sectarian, just like Carlos Francino says in his program. And there's always a great way of every day, for example, one day, for example, it's a billboard of a film, for example, such as ours. But I think that basically, I think the film talks about nationalism, the Basque nationalism and Spanish nationalism, and I think that there's a critique of that fanaticism, and I think what this society is a reflection of that critique, and I think they're just in the trenches, so to speak, and they take a position that the billboard allows you to read it in different ways. It's very difficult to read it, and it's very difficult to take positions. Now, what has changed basically since 2003 to now is Twitter, because basically that is where I don't think that there's a complete censorship. But for example, when you write or do something, you feel lazy to be able to put up with the consequences, because you know that there's going to be an important anonymous people that are going to say something against you. But it's important that people, we who do make comedies, we should not change our way of working, no matter what the people say on Twitter. Beyond any controversy, the great loss would be to lose making comedies. We can't lose Twitter. We can lose Twitter, but we can't lose comedy. Hi, good morning. Javi La Bajona, and just what has just been said, I think that's where we'd fit in. Okay. Hi, I would like to ask you whether the film can be a candidate to the Goyas, or because it's produced by Netflix, you can't enter into the quote-unquote battle of the Goyas. Would you like to invite the Minister for the Interior, who sent a letter to Netflix to be empathic vis-a-vis victims? Would you like to invite the Minister for the Interior so that he can contract some of the laughter that can be seen this evening? The Minister of the Interior has got enough on his agenda this weekend. The truth is that I don't think he's going to come along. I'd love him for him to see it. I'd love for him to see it. But I think he's got a lot on his agenda. And he's got a... I don't know whether Javier wants to answer. No, the other Javier. Yes, the Javier. You've got to fulfill a certain requirements to participate in the Goyas, but we will have to talk to Netflix because the work deserves to be subjected to see what the Academy says, whether it's chosen or not. Yes, yeah, we do want to present it and submit it to the Goyas, yes. Keep some pancineta for Olga. Javier, keep pizza, but she feels like getting a lot. Pancineta is fantastic. Twitter not only increases, but let's hope that there's hunger and people want to eat the pancineta that Javier has just been given. Gorka Ochoa, I would like to ask the following question. How has the advertising campaign of Netflix influenced all of that controversy, whether there's been any influence in you yourselves? Hi, good morning. First of all, I would like to say above all that we were surprised very much. We didn't expect this, first of all, that that type of billboard was going to appear, that sort of billboard, but nevertheless, the billboard is a way of advertising. It's pure marketing, and so therefore no one's going to do it better than Netflix. No one's going to work in marketing and advertising, and they've managed the people talking about the film. Now everyone sees the film and says that it's got nothing to do with that criticism that has been made of the film beforehand. So therefore, there are people who have criticized the film before seeing it. They weren't right, and that has been clearly demonstrated and shown when they've seen the film. And so therefore, I think that the objective has been fulfilled because we've talked much more about the film more than ever. We've talked very much about the film, Bomb Scared, Fede Tarrés, and that's what billboards are for, to sell, and they've achieved their objective. Next question, please. She wants another question, it seems. She wants more. She wants more. She wants to ask another question. Was the script in a production company for many years? Now you've made it with Netflix. Your way of working has changed a lot. It would have changed a lot if you'd done it with another production company. Our way of working, no. The freedom conditions, yes. We've worked in the same way, but the final creative decision, a complete privilege that we didn't believe existed. They trusted us. And they called us to do something, and they allowed us to do what we wanted. It's the first time in which I think we've not ever changed a single comma because of apart from being our own personal, it being our own personal opinion. But Netflix, in that case, has been marvelous to work with them. And I hope that many other working systems would give necessary time and the necessary trust in creative teams to be able to develop at least an initial version, to be faithful to the idea and then enter into the work. But that is not, in many cases, doesn't happen. We can't hear the question. These are completely different questions because Spanish Affair is a studio with a vocation which is completely commercial, and it's written with a lot of criteria, and we put on our working clothes to be able to fulfill that challenge. And this film was different for Borja and for I. In this film, we couldn't negotiate a lot of things because, in the sense, it's got an ideological load and burden. You're going to respond like you're responding today, and it's necessary for it to be you because you believe in what you've written. It's another type of film. I think both challenges are very, very stimulating, I would say, to fill up cinema theaters with a lot big queues of people is very difficult to achieve. And these smaller, more personal type films also make it more difficult creatively. But I'm glad that the San Sebastian Film Festival, we're talking about the Spanish Fair, and José Luis Perales is sitting now, it's dropped, and Serafín Zubiri is in our film as well. First of all, I would like to say that I'm very happy that this film has been made, because last night a lot of people were laughing in the Principal Theater. I did as well. I laughed, and I would like to ask Mireni Barguren whether vis-a-vis the future you would like to participate in In a feature film in Bars last year, we saw you participated in Kale Begiak, and I want to congratulate you for the work you did in that job, and also here in Bomsked, Fede Tarras. I'm not too sure whether you'd like to participate in a film in Basque, in comedy or in drama. Well, it's all the same to me. I love to work in Basque because it's something that is easy for me. And so therefore, I would like to work here because you work much more at home. Thank you very much for what you've said about my work, by the way. I also speak in Basque. No, that's a joke. No, I don't. Okay, it wasn't too bad. No, it wasn't too bad. No. He knows a little bit. He knows a few words in Basque. I admire you all very much. I know that you're very courageous, albeit you dedicate yourselves to comedy. And I would like to ask, there have been directors in this country that in heroic moments underwent a very harsh censorship and they had to try to overcome it. Do you self-censor yourselves when you write at all, your scripts or not? I think, well, with material that from me, seeing from the outside, seems very delicate, yes. But no, the truth is that in this film, we've done what we wanted to. Those of you who have seen it, I think that the ending is an example that we've been totally free. It's quite a radical ending. We haven't negotiated this. This is what we felt like writing the script. If we censored ourselves, we wouldn't do comedies of a commando. We would also always do romantic comedies. But as you've got the freedom, it does. It allows you to go beyond self-censorship and you put your neck at risk, or yourself at stake. That is to say, of course, yeah, we made a film like this, which obviously is a comedy about an ETA commander, which is also quite transgressive. But we want to be transgressive in this case. The idea is to make comedies about how close and what we've seen, how lived in this country at that period of time, and to tell our story in the sense. Story with of that history, what's happened in the Basque country in the last few years. Well, let's make this satire about what was so present in society at that time. It's not being transgressive at all. We don't censor ourselves, no. And what happens is, depending upon what script we write, there's always a character who's Julián López. It happened with Super López. We didn't know that it was going to be done, but to write it, it's as if, the prodigious shoemaker, for example, you start to see Julián's face in the script. So therefore, that's why we fit in Julián. I'm not too sure. We worked with all of them the first time with Javier and with Julián. We worked with him much more, but undoubtedly, I like him very much, so that's why I use him. Well, okay, because of what you said about me. Hi, how are you? I want to use this, but nobody asked me in Basque. I'm going to act as if I was Basque. As if it were English. Okay. First of all, no. Well, for me, it's a pleasure once again to be with the Borja and Diego, tandem. It's the Bordis. It's not going to be as good as the Bordis. I call them Bordis, Borja and Diego. I don't know what I have to answer because the truth is they've already answered your question. I'm here because Javi says they talked about you. No, I usually say that. It's a pity everything that has been mentioned about the film. And for you to see you saw the film, it's unnecessary everything that's been said beforehand of a script that when we read it, we laughed a lot and we didn't think about anything else above what a great time I had reading the script and that it was an idea that they were already talking about when you shot. Don't control yourself. When in 2010, when the World Cup was playing, this has been beautiful when the World Cup, they were talking about this film, and I only saw, well, how cool to make a comedy about the World Cup. And if they would have been told that years later we were going to go back in time it would have been a hassle. I would have freaked right out, but that's a bit of a pity when at that time I thought it was great. And then in 2017, I read the script and all of a sudden it's a comedy to make people laugh, which is the objective at the end of the day. And very intelligently on their side, to laugh about something that's close to us, something that surrounds us. And that's the best way to tell something, when you feel surrounded by what's happening and you do a parody or something. That's what you do most. Okay, Javi, that'll do. Okay. Okay, I'd like to ask you, Borja and Diego, about comedy and football. What does it mean? It has a lot of identity, and it's very okay. It's an important part of the script. Well, it was a basic comedy to place the fish in the most difficult fishbowl. You take it back to the date and the place where they're going to suffer the most, because what characterizes them, the ideological. But if you put those weeks in July, the commando in a town which is indeterminate in the South African World Cup, they're going to come up and collide and come up against a series of circumstances, like putting down. It's like making them, putting them in check at playing chess, putting them in a difficult situation. If we have to exaggerate the symbols, the film talks about when you take too seriously your flag and too seriously the reject to someone else's flag. I think that football in Spain undoubtedly has fulfilled a role which is almost of usually is the fatherland or the motherland. For example, football teams, when the Spanish or when the national teams play, talk about nationalism and to place it in that explosion of the winning of the World Cup. And it was a World Cup when it was called the Red Team, La Roja, and that was ideal for us as a framework. Yes, and plus we had an idea of a film that the street struggle wanted to go into Spain, and we're going back to Malta and avoid the 12-1. It was like a sociological and ideological weapon we wanted to use. So football, if you add that on to a sequel, for example, I'll be the goalkeeper in Malta when Spain won 12-1. Well, the goalkeeper, the person that takes care of the goal, as I like to say. Hi, good morning. The project for many years in a drawer, you've talked about this, but I've still got some questions. I've read and heard at the end you rejected the idea because the audience wasn't prepared, because, well, let's say you didn't want to deal with this issue. At the same time, in the last few days, I've heard some actors saying that in Spain we lack political cinema, but it's a comedy, but it's political film. But perhaps there's a connection a bit perverse in nature, because the normal film production companies don't want to make political films. They're afraid this country is going back so far to go to those extremes, and we need digital platforms, in this case with foreign money, to give freedom to Spanish creators. I think that's automatic. That is to say, I think Javier Mendez, I love the project, and he said, what are we proposing to Netflix? Netflix said, Juanma Inés said, yes, we want to make it. Yes, that's a fact, and it's a chain of events that have taken place. But it is true, we haven't felt censored at all, for a simple reason. That's you ask a conventional production company that it finances, it's got to go on TV, you put that on the table, so we've got this comedy about a commando, the safe house, or a romantic comedy. They will choose a romantic comedy. Diego and I have never had one single project to do. So therefore, I think it's logical and normal and sensible that if a production company wants to do a conventional film because it's difficult to finance, that's logical. We don't feel as if we're victims of the system in that sense. We felt like, feel like making it, but I'm glad we made it now, because I think it's even more interesting telling the end of it than to talk about the experience of a commando when they were active and killing. And the project was in the drawer, but it's changed quite a lot. And in fact, it's been in a physical script in this, let's say, it's gone through in many situations. One of the things, and talking about the project, is that as it was in our mind, the actors that we wanted, and they all said yes, the four main actors said yes, several months before shooting, we read the script, and that conditioned the second next version quite a lot. That is something that I couldn't have made is to hear in a loud voice, and the actors, reading the text and the dialogues, and I thought it was a great experience because it conditioned us quite a lot when writing the script. So therefore, I've deviated from the question that you've asked, but I've gotten off track. But it's not a script that we had written and it was closed since 2004, but it has evolved according to what was happening in real life, and it changed quite a lot. It changed a lot. Yes, you changed it. Well, yes, I did. He doesn't appear as a co-scriptwriter, but you changed it a lot. I would like to ask Diego and Borja, how do you fit into that paradox? Because Diego says we live in a country where every day someone is, and the social media is attacked, but then all of a sudden, when a jihadist from Cordoba appears, or Memes, or we're in a day-to-day conversations, we laugh at what's happening in Catalonia. For someone who manufactures humor, how do you move in a country which is so demential in that point of view? Well, I want to say something, or demented, that is, as Oscar was saying, I wanted to say that there are many things we've gone backwards, that's to say, impossible being attacked and so on and so forth on the social media, but we've gone progress quite a lot, and that is that ETA doesn't kill anymore. That is to say, I think that's a great leap forward, that's the biggest leap forward. In some things, we perhaps going backwards, but in the important issues, I think that we are advancing. And I think you ask about the competition that we have in humor. What is better, a meme of the Cordobés or Zapelli? What do you mean? A meme of the Cordobés, I think, is great. Mars Attacks, for example, there's another one of Mars Attacks that I loved a lot. And I says it's not the right time to do so. Humor takes along much longer, but it was immediate. Everyone in Spain laughed about the ISIS Spaniard. Everyone. And my mother, well, my mother, well, I think it's one of the most healthiest things that could have happened in this country. I don't know what I've been saying for many years. To reduce a terrorist to a joke is something that's got to hurt people, and that's a victory of society over terrorism. Yes, I completely agree. And then, plus, these guys are really tough. I like people that make humor that have got a lot, that are very strong. You can't enter into the battle on Twitter. There are people that insult you too much. And then all of a sudden, as you involve yourself emotionally, we involve ourselves, we actors, there are politicians that complain about your work, and it's as if it was stuck here like a tumor. 20 years ago, I said, gee, this guy hassled me, and you walk by him, and you say, and so therefore, Twitter, this is constant. It's a constant bombarding. We need humorists. And people that are very solid, and people that are solid and strong are people who are very, very intelligent, who are very brilliant, and very good people. I think from that, new humor is going to emerge that will give us a lot of work and to write intelligent scripts like this. But it's true, but if you enter into that battle, and you do it, you've got to be very strong. Those that are so brilliant and are still there are geniuses. Behind some Twitters, there are teams of people that are writing. Yes, I would say, no one can be that brilliant all the time. So therefore, when you, not Borja, but Diego San Jose, when you meet him, you go, well, Jesus. Well, there are people, or Julian, for example, he's a comedian and tragic despite himself. So when you discover people, especially tragic, when you discover it's people that can't avoid it, who are brilliant, that's their nature. It's in their nature. I want to be by them all the time. And that happened to us. Mirem, Gorka, isn't that right? Yes, absolutely. So therefore, we were on set and you were seeing that everything that came out of the mouth was brilliant. And you said, well, I've got to trust these people. This is the path we've got to go down. And I've got to play a character who's serious, but then I'm very all accompanied. No, don't do that. Oh, that's right. I shouldn't do that. So therefore, it makes us more malleable, but there are people that are brilliant. And so these are the people that are going to get us out of problems. Brilliant people like this and I want to be stuck with them, very close to them all the time, because these brilliant people will give us a lot of work. Julian Lopez, please, stand up, please, because... And Javi, a colleague said that to ask you a question in Basque, okay? Yes, well, come over here.
Julian izango litzateke.
The first one to Julian. In football things, in that final, Iniesta scored a goal. He's from Albacete, and your character is from Albacete as well. And why isn't there some sort of link between the character from Albacete? Why didn't you have him celebrating the goal or something like that? That's the first question. The second would be, could you respond? But I would like you, Borja, to answer as well. Yesterday, after seeing the film, a person told me that with ETA or about ETA, no comedies have been done in Basque, but in Vaya Semanita and in Spanish in films, but not in Basque. And one of these films, would you be prepared to participate in it? Because there's a story written by Lucho Fernandez that includes a character like yours, from Albacete, who goes into the Rico Tabernas. Would you participate in this type of project if it were done in Basque? And Borja Cobeaga, I would like to ask you, what problems do you think may exist for these types of comedies not existing related to ETA and in the Basque language? But okay, I'll answer you in Spanish much better, okay? Especially for them. And for Javier. No, I haven't got my headphones on. Okay. Well, okay. Well, the way he talks, it seems he's speaking English. It's as if he was speaking English. I'd love to make a film in Basque. I'd have to work on it, but I'd love to do it so that my mother can say, well, okay. Look at my son. Look at my son. He speaks languages. They haven't dubbed him. He speaks the language for real. I think that would be very enriching for sure for me. So that's one of the answers. The second, which is the first, yeah, that's true. There's a connection there between my character of Chinchilla, who I'm going to in Chinchilla, for example. Let's see how it's received in Chinchilla. Maybe that's where I'm from, and I have to inaugurate the fiestas there next year, and I'm not too sure after I see the film whether they'll allow me to go back into the city, to allow me into town. But in the film, you don't see the goal by Iniesta. You don't get to see it. There's a lot of fun. In previous versions, there were, but my character, as he's got that head, we don't know what's going on in his head. He forgets about Albacete and everything. He's Basque. He's completely Basque. He's a Basque warrior. And so, therefore, because of the psychology of the character, he wouldn't have celebrated, no matter if Iniesta, who puts out, shows the T-shirts and puts arte in Albacete, he wouldn't have no emotional regression. He said, no. These guys have fucked us up because they've won the World Cup. I'm talking about the character. Now, in general, how beautiful was Iniesta's goal for a person from La Mancha, a universal person from La Mancha, after El Quijote? I may recognize that evening, I live in Hernani, and we heard in Hernani, goal, but very, very strongly. So I live in Hernani, in fact. In the World Cup, no, we were in Bilbao in Madrid. But Koldo Serra told me that he, in Algorta, that's where you got your house, your parents, out in the street, there were people celebrating, but like we celebrate in the film, like this. It was like this. And he listened, just like Franco's death. And they said, well, inside you're saying, I'd like to celebrate it. What a pity I can't celebrate it more effusively. I thought that was incredible, as Koldo was telling me. And I said, well, gee, what things, what stuff? There are many parts of the script. There were parts that have been shot, especially in that part of the film. But it's true that they got it right. Borja got it right, precipitating, shall we say, accelerating the end as it was coming along. It was much more interesting when he said, you didn't notice that it's been edited out, but the end of the film jumps into the void very quickly. So it's so important, the arrival of that character who seems is never going to come along, and he appears, and everything else was almost random. It was a lot of fun. It was shot, but it'll come up in the scriptwriter's cut. No, the scene that there was most laughing was with Luis Bermejo celebrating Iniesta's goal. It was impossible to shoot, physically impossible to shoot it. And then it doesn't appear in the film, it's been cut out. So there was a great contradiction between what you shoot and you think it's a lot of fun on set. And then you go to the editing room and coldly you analyze it. It might be funny, but doesn't fit in very well for the ending. And then the other question, well, I'm a Model A student. This is an internal joke that doesn't exist. Model A education. That say you asked, you studied Basque as a subject, just like English. My English and Basque, I have don't have much of a level in speaking those two languages, but. I would love to do things in Basque. The only short that I did with Miren in Basque, in Kalabiak, there wasn't much dialogue, but a thing which requires dialogue like that Diego and I do, to not control the language 100% seems to be complicated. We would never write a film in English, for example, the same thing. So therefore, I think I wouldn't dare do it, and I don't know why. The truth is that, well, it is true that there are directors that speak in Basque, and they do directors that speak in Basque and do comedies, but we Basque people are more like to do dramas. Any other director that makes a film in Basque has never dealt well with this subject matter, but in comedy, I don't know. I couldn't tell you why. Perhaps they're sick and tired and they want to do other things. Me and him, we've got to do comedies. I learned Basque with the Kepa Junquera's music. I was in my town in Junquera and in Disco Play, through Disco Play, the magazine, I asked for Kepa Junquera's music with the words in music. He's an instrumentalist, as you know. And it blew me away. I said, what are you listening to, man? What are you listening to? I said, well, this is very beautiful. And imagine, there's another script there, a guy from the province listening to Basque music in his when he's a teenager. There, okay, that's an idea for a script. Okay, I've been told you've got interviews pending, so therefore we have to finish the press conference. Thank you very much to all of you. Thank you. Thank you.